That's a bit like yesterday when we went for the open air lunchtime. Half the people were still in the morning, another half had moved on to the afternoon. It's good to be here, and it's good to share the word of God. When I was a teenager, that's when I got saved. And it was an encounter with the presence of God. And the thing when you have an encounter with the presence of God is it stays in your memory and it stays with you and you cannot be erased. And of course, when you get saved and the Lord Jesus comes out and you ask him into our heart, what do we know about the Bible? Really nothing. We start off really, we don't know a thing. And it can take many years to get to know the Word of God. And you discover as you go through life, the Bible is always full of revelations, and you never get to an end of the revelations that God gives you. You know, and in my early days, I was very fortunate to go to a church where the pastor had been converted under the ministry of William Branham, which meant that in the meetings, it wasn't normal meetings at times. So I saw lots of things that you would read about the Gospels. But the one thing I do know is that through life, God, as you go through, you think, I wish I knew all these things when I was so much younger. It's a journey. But in that journey, God is always faithful and God is good. And I'm going to speak today, I'm taking 3 verses of scripture. I'm just going to speak on the subject of a treasure that can be taught. And then I'm going to give some definitions and eventually use David as an example and to tell then after to tell you what I'm set free from. But the first verse is found in Isaiah 33:6. And it's part of the verse that says, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. You're looking for a treasure? In the New Testament, you read about the person who sold everything to get this pearl of greatest price. But see, everybody's not searching for a treasure. Because to search for a treasure means effort. It means commitment. And it means a lot of hard work. And it can take a long time. The other one is found in Psalm 34:11. The psalmist says here, come, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So the fear of the Lord can be taught. And as we'll come to another, well, David learned how that operated. And then the third verse, Proverbs 23:17. Let not thine heart envy sinners. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. So there is a treasure, and the fear of the Lord is that treasure, that can be taught. And you don't want to envy sinners. And we'll come to that at the end. So this fear is not a natural fear. It's not a fear of heights. It's not a fear of getting a needle stuck into you. It's not a fear which you find in the natural realm. It's also not a demonic fear. 2 Timothy talks about we're not given to the spirit of fear. But for boldness in the day of judgment. And it's not the fear of man. Now, Proverbs tells us that the fear of man brings a snare. And if you want to notice who falls into that category, and you can read about it from Matthew 14 and Luke 6, it's Herod. Herod in the time of John the Baptist. The Bible tells us that Herod feared his conscience. Herod feared John the Baptist. When John the Baptist was killed and he heard about Jesus, he feared because he saw that John the Baptist was raised from the dead. John the Baptist, if Herod feared him about being ridiculed. He also feared to break his word. And so he allowed the head of John the Baptist to be cut off. Did you notice in everything that he feared, the one thing he never feared was the fear of God? It was everything all around that. The one fear that you really need is the fear of God, and that was the one fear that he never had. Fear of people, fear of ridicule, fear of people, and conscience, and all these things. So he fears everything he should not fear, but does not fear what he should. And then another fear is fear in the heart. Because fear in the heart paralyzes you in spiritual warfare. And that's why we skipped earlier, God has not given us a spirit of fear.
Amen.
But the fear has a strong correlation with unbelief. Unbelief is having faith in something other than God. You know, so you've got in the scriptures, Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies. The flies attract all the things. Dead carcasses meet and the flies are all attracted to these things. Faith and unbelief are very closely linked. But the same way, faith and belief are very closely linked. Paul, in the scriptures, you have the story in the book of Acts, where there's seven sons of Sceva, they looked and they saw Paul. And they saw Paul casting out unclean spirits. And so they thought they could do it. And the Spirit spoke to them. And after the Spirit speaking out of people. And they said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. He said, who are you? And he jumped upon them with such strength that they ran away. I've seen people with such strength. But you see, when it comes to the fear of God, that's a special type of fear. See, when Moses was confronted with the glory of the Lord, it states he was exceedingly afraid and trembled. So you have a God experience, and it's full of awe, and it states not just being reverent, but being terrified. And Moses' response was to a revelation of God. See, the commands of God is a revelation. The commands of God bring revelation. The blessings of God are in the commands. And when Moses had that encounter, he trembled. But if you ever read about the life of Moses from that encounter, the Bible says he knew the ways of God. And to know the ways of God, very few people ever come into that realm. Because it came to that encounter with the fear of God. And in that realm, you don't need to have anything. Because you know how to get what you need when you need it. You walked in a different realm. So what does the fear of God do for you? What does it produce? Job 28:28. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So the fear of the Lord, there's two things right away. You get wisdom, and you know how to depart from evil. And it brings understanding. Proverbs 10:27 says, it prolongeth your days. You want to live a long life, fear the Lord. But the years of the wicked shall be shortened. And the psalmist said, the fear of the Lord is clean, and it endures forever. So what is wisdom? It is the ability to draw judgment and more on spiritual matters. It is the ability to discern spiritual things. Biblical wisdom can be compared to worldly wisdom. Biblical wisdom works repentance to salvation. Worldly wisdom works death. Christ is wisdom. In the world of wisdom, you're depending on what man learns for his own abilities and what he learns. The work of the Holy Spirit is God's wisdom. And that brings love, peace, and joy. The things we deal with in Galatians chapter 5. But the works of flesh are pride, wrath, envy, jealousy, and war. So you've got God's wisdom, you've got worldly wisdom. And then you have understanding. It is the ability to grasp the words of the scripture with which the Holy Spirit teaches. Proverbs says in chapter 8, it's truth, righteousness, And it also goes on to say that all plays we can understand them. And Christ is the truth. Remember when Jesus was before Pilate, Pilate asked a question. In fact, he didn't really so much ask a question. He stated what is truth. But in stating what is truth, he turned his back and walked away. Not interested in what the truth was. What is truth? And just walked away. But you know, that's an anagram. Because if you change the words around, I would have said the man is standing in front of you. Because Jesus Christ is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, and he is the one who has come to reveal to us the ways of God and to bring salvation to each one of us. And to bring a place where we progress from being just born again, know nothing, to start to grow and start to learn the fear of the Lord as a treasure. And I want to go after it. Understanding also implies departing from evil. As we found in Job 28:28, the fear of the Lord is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. The Proverbs 2:10 says, but when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Discretion means you have the ability to discern or to discriminate, as to draw a correct evaluation. But as the scripture says, when it enters your heart, so it's not automatically guaranteed. Unless you're going to pursue it, you're not going to get it. And it's just like when you could, somebody who's pursuing, you have the times when you would have the gold rush, and people would travel across a continent, hoping to find their treasures, hoping to get wealth, and they would labour day and night, in the most extreme conditions, looking for a treasure that very few of them found. But the Bible says you have to be like that if you want to find wisdom and have understanding. Because when wisdom enters into your calf, you've got to seek for it. And say, the scripture also says in another place, incline your ear to wisdom, which means you have to bow down to wisdom. And you've got to apply knowledge, so you're crying out for discernment, you're crying out for understanding, you're looking for a hidden treasure, and you're seeking diligently after it. And it's done by meditating upon the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians 7:1 said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, and spend the perfected holiness in the fear of God. So there you've got to perfect dealing with the flesh. Because the Bible says, flesh will not glory in God's presence. And the thing of the flesh, with all your immorality, all your wickedness, your deceit, your lying, your murder. But it also says, just deal with things in the spirit realm. You don't open yourselves up to the spirit realm. You don't open yourselves up to get to all with your fortune told. You don't go to necromancers. You don't go to, because then you're entering into the spirit realm. And the Bible says the one thing about the spirit realm, you don't send that realm, I'm not going to want it. I'll let you perish in that realm. The Bible warns you never go across that boundary because God's protection is no longer going to be upon you. So we come. And the Bible also says, Father, keep your tongue from the evil, the guile, the trickery, the fraud, craft, deceit, cunning, deception, duplicity, all the things of the flesh. So let's look at King David. Psalm 119, we're going to look at a few verses here. Start with verse 38. David said, establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to your fear. So David, the psalmist, the Bible tells us, he was devoted to the fear of God. And if you're going to be devoted to something, then you're going to be zeroed in on it. You're going to be doing everything so that you achieve your objective. And the Bible says here that David was devoted to the fear of God. And David, it says in verse 120, my flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of your judgments. So here, a bit like Moses, He has been having encounters with God because he has been seeking God. He's been seeking the fear of God, and he's come to that place where he said, my flesh trembles in presence. I'm afraid. I'm fearful for your presence. Because the fear of God is a different type of fear from all the other types of fear. The fear of God is a good fear. Because it brings your life into alignment with the Word of God and the things of God. And everything in the Word of God is there for your good. Not to pull you down, but to build you up. And he said, my flesh trembles for fear of thee, and I'm afraid of your judgments. Because the Bible says, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. There's no two-tier justice when it comes to God. There's no black or white. His justice is true. Everybody treats the same. Everybody comes against the same standard. God is a just God. And his authority, he responds when he was devoted to God's fear. He was trembling. And he got wisdom because in verse 97 of the same time, he said he loves God's law and he meditates on it. This is how, telling you how he got the fear of God. He loved God's law, he meditated on it. And through thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies. So I've been meditating upon your word, I've been meditating upon your law. Everything that I'm finding in your word, everything I'm learning, it says, make me wiser than my enemies. You know, so that's something to get to. And he goes on to say, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Think of all the teachers through school, universities. And David is saying, everything that I'm learning from your law, from your commandments, from your truth, and applying to my life, I've become wiser than my teachers. I'm learning the things that my teachers could never tell me, nor what could they understand, because I've never been in that place of wisdom. And he goes forward and he said, if you're no longer more understanding, he says, your testimonies are my meditation. He's learning to take time to meditate on the testimonies of God. In another place, David says, I looked at the wicked and I was getting overwhelmed with them. He said, but then I remembered the thing. I remembered your testimonies. I remember what your word says. Then I remembered the thing. And then I never bought it anymore. He said, I understand more than the ancients. Well, that's something, isn't it? Can you say that you understand more than Isaiah? Or the psalmist, you can say, do you understand more than Abraham? Do you understand more than those who have been in generations past? Different empires, all their teachings. But here's David, he said, I understand more than the ancients. And I understand it because I am devoted to the fear of God. I'm devoted to the word of God. I'm devoted to bringing my life into alignment with what the Word of God says. That's my one objective, my one aim, and that's what I'm running after, and that's what I'm seeking. And he said, and then he says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste? How sweet are your words? Well, the Bible is very clear. When David is talking about commandments, testimonies, precepts, thy word, words he can read, and digest his food. These words are given in Scripture. The book of Luke says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so we have the Scriptures, we have the words of Jesus, we have the words of the living God, and we can meditate on them. As the psalmist said, by a young man, meditate the words, cleanse your heart, keep you from falling, keep you from evil. And so, we come and we meditate upon the words of the Lord. And David goes on to say, unless thy law had been my delight, I should have perished in my affliction. Unless your law had been what I delighted in, my life would have been gone a long time ago. See, that's what's sustained me, has upheld me to go through all the temptations, all the trials. Everything that's come against me in my life, it's your word that's upheld me. Because I've held on and not let go. He said, I've been at the point of being destroyed, but I held on. And your law had been my delight. He said, the wicked waited to kill me. He said, but I escaped by considering your testimonies. He said, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. The precepts, God's commands, that are passed to others. It's a normal action or a behaviour, especially in the moral area. The precepts of God. And he's saying, I will never forget thy precepts. I'm holding on to them, I'm standing upon them. And he goes on to say, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. So there came a time in David's life when he was fleeing for his life, when people were against him. What did he do? I had a word from you, Lord. I had a word from you, and I'm standing upon that word. Didn't matter what situation is looking all around me, and the people are chasing me down, but it all is happening to my life. You gave me a word. How many of you have a prophetic word, and you've never seen it come to pass? What have you done with it? If you cast aside, it's not happened. David said, you spoke to me. I remember when you spoke to me. I remember what you said to me. I'm holding on to it. I'm not letting that go. And he discovered me holding on to the word. It was very profitable to him. You know, it's important because if you have no word, you've got nothing to hold on to. He said, remember the word unto Isaiah upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Because if there's no word, there's no hope. But God's word always gets hope if we stand upon it and hold on to it. And this is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. I thought on my own ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Your word quickened me. I looked at my own ways. I said, this is not a good way. So I turned to your testimonies to follow you, Lord. And so the scripture is written for our hope and comfort. And Paul tells us that in the book of Romans. And he goes on to say, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I err not from thy precepts. The wicked lay snares. We've read about the wicked acts that happened during the week. They lay snares. There's always been wicked people, always will be. Even the Apostle Paul, when he was living, he said, this present evil world, nothing's ever changed, nothing will ever change till the Lord comes back. But here he said, your testimonies, I've taken out my heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. His statutes were the fixed decrees and ordinances that were set by God in the world, and he set his heart upon them. And we come, because he had people chase him, his life was in danger. The Proverbs said, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. There are a number of reasons why you should. Ephesians 2 will tell you, not dead in our trespasses and sins. They don't know God, about God of eternity. No hope, no salvation, no God to save them. Pay the price of our own sin because they won't accept the price that God has provided. He's a child of wrath by nature. They don't recognize Jesus when he was crucified on the cross, took upon himself the wrath of God for our salvation. Took upon us heaven for punishment so that we don't need that punishment. But the evil doer, then trespassing sins, oblivious to it. We're alone in the world without hope and without God. You know, many, many years ago, I read a book, and there was a testimony of lots of all your philosophers and different people that you had during the, you know, and You would have some of a med service describing the horrible deaths that would have. People screaming out in fear. They're coming to get me, they're coming to get me. Help me. Say to the doctors, I'll give you half of everything I've got if you can keep me alive a bit longer. So they're alone in the world without hope, without God. Under the wrath of God. No peace of mind, no spiritual motives or aims, no spiritual life, daily servitude to sin, judgment, condemnation, lake of fire ahead. And the Bible says in Isaiah 33:14, who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burning? Who's going to dwell there? The wicked. Those who think they can go their own way. And so, when we come to these scriptures, going back to the three scriptures we said at the beginning, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. And the Bible, we learn the fear of the Lord by the testimonies, by the statutes, by all the teachings of the Word of God, and bringing our life into alignment with them and letting the Holy Spirit work in us to change our heart. And we don't look and have envy at the sinners, because their end is a dreadful end. Who can ever imagine the end of it being an eternity without Christ? Because outside of Christ, I remember somebody one time who said, but why would God let us go to these places? Why would God do that? He doesn't. His plan of salvation, he has given the best of heaven. He's given his own son. And you couldn't have been if you went to eternity with Christ in your sin, because it would be torment. See, the fear of God, one thing you learn about the fear of God, and Moses learned and David learned it, when that presence of the fear of God comes, you start to tremble. You start to tremble. Everybody you read about where some really deep, significant spiritual event took place in life, or were falling on a face like that, they were trembling. And you think without your sin being covered and washed away, that you're going to go into the presence of God and you're going to be right. I'll be absolute torment, because the brightness of the holiness of a loving God, when we have got filthy, unclean hearts and wickedness in us, it's just sheer torment. And outside of Christ, it is just torment. Eternity with the fallen angels. Eternity with unclean spirits. You talk about hell, the Bible says hell will be cast into the lake of fire. And so the scripture says, who can abide that? Who can suffer? Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who's foolish enough wants to be in the place of the devouring fire? When God himself has come to deal with sin and to say, be covered with my righteousness. Be covered with my righteousness. And when you're covered with the righteousness of Christ, the Bible says God looks at you and doesn't see you and see all your wickedness and unclean heart. He looks and he sees the righteousness of Christ which bought you and redeemed you. And through his righteousness, we have peace with God, can enter the presence of a holy God. So David said, I'm devoted to your fear because I want to be kept clear of the evil person, know how to deal with them when they come along, and so that I'm always living in alignment with your word, so that you will be glorified in me and through me, and I will know your presence and your power. And so, today, let us not be envious of the wicked, but let us, like David, be those who want to devote ourselves to the fear of God. Because when the fear of God comes in the presence of God, you're carrying the presence of God. And there's an overflow of your presence. And you affect the environment where you're in. You change people's lives. Because God works in you and through you. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you there are things in your word that can be taught, which we might have thought unobtainable. But Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit move upon every heart and every life.
is the revelation of the Holy Spirit of the greatness of the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He did become sin. He did die on the cross, but he rose again. And Father, we want to be those who are devoted to your fear, walking in your ways, knowing your presence, knowing your power, and know that you're the God who saves and heals and restores and delivers. That you are the God whose the love of Christ floods our hearts. And we walk in our love and in the joy of the Lord. So Father, we ask now, in the name of Jesus, that you would quicken your word to every heart, every life, for your glory. Amen.